all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
I'm Dr. Jimmy Stewart, host of the original Southern Remedy, the show where I answer your medical questions. Subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy on any podcasting app.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Southern Remedy, Women's Health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And as I start off every week with Happy Friday, it looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day today, hopefully throughout the state in the area. So get outside and definitely enjoy. We know the weather has been all over the place recently, but I think we might have an okay weekend ahead. So get outside. Get some fresh air and I guess enjoy it while it lasts because everything is so unpredictable. I was looking at the weather and it looks like maybe rain on Monday. We'll see what happens because I know so many people are geared up and ready for the solar eclipse that's happening Monday. I ordered my glasses on Amazon. They should be here today. My kids, I even had to sign a permission slip for them to participate if you want your children to participate in the solar eclipse. So that's all coming up as well. But anyway, like I said before, thank God it's Friday. And as I was kind of reflecting on things to talk about this week, usually sometimes I just try to pick things that I've seen a lot in clinic this week. I've been covering the hospital for a good bit this week as well as in clinic. But one thing that is definitely coming up right now is a cough. And so that's kind of why I picked that topic for today's discussion. I think we can officially say all of us at some point in our life have dealt with the cough and know that it is a pretty annoying thing to deal with. You know, it's actually one of the most common reasons people come and see the doctor. And it is accounting for over 30 million clinic visits a year. So hopefully today can give you a little bit of insight of, can I give this a little bit more time or do I need to be one of those 30 million and get in and see my doctor? The challenging thing about cough is it actually is our body's response to something. Coughing is actually a pretty good thing. Cough is kind of this automatic reflex that our body has created really as part of our immune system and to protect ourselves, to stop things from going down in the airway that aren't supposed to be there. So our cough works to kind of get those things out and force those things out. So that's how sometimes, you know, you get some pretty strong cough in there, just your body trying to clear this foreign material, whether that be infection, an irritant that has bothered your airway or whatever it may be, your cough is actually trying to protect you. So in many instances, our cough can be a good thing. But it, as I said before, it can be pretty annoying. So how do I know if my cough is a real problem or if it's something that I need to see a lung specialist? That's also the thing. I'll get people coming in. I've been coughing for 4 weeks, Dr. Kinsey. I need to see a lung doctor. I'm like, all right, let's take it back. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Because interestingly enough, all cough is not related to our lungs. So we'll break that down a little bit. But really some of the things that help us figure out what is causing our cough is sometimes how long that cough lasts. So we consider an acute cough one that's typically lasts less than three weeks. Some may say out to four, but less than about 3 weeks, we consider that an acute cough. And that usually oftentimes is something that is acute. It's going to go away on its own, typically an infection, and we'll dive a little bit more into some of those causes. And then what we call a chronic cough, so the one that hangs out for a good bit, is one that typically lasts more than about 2 months or 8 weeks. And that cause is a little bit different sometimes than the ones that are acute. And then what we call subacute, those people that just kind of fall in between. So that cough has kind of been hanging around about 3 to 8 weeks. And so you're still trying to decide, do I need to see the doctor? Do I give this a little bit more time? You know, it's kind of that weird place where we're trying to figure out exactly what to do. So When we talk about acute cough, not surprising that one of the most common causes of an acute cough less than 3 weeks is some type of infection. And that infection is typically the common cold. And even though people do not want to hear this, the common cold is caused by a virus. It is a viral illness. Why it is so frustrating is that there are over 200 viruses that essentially can cause the common cold. So that's why sometimes you get a cold, you feel better, you get around somebody else that has similar symptoms, might have a different virus, and you've got a cold again. I call it kind of the chronic daycare illness. A lot of my patients, I do pediatrics as well, so a lot of my patients will have their kids start daycare, and it's like they're like, their nose won't stop running, they won't stop coughing. I don't know what's going on, and it's because they're getting exposed to so many of these different viral illnesses, and it can be a different one. So when we're talking about over 200 different types of viruses, you have exposure to those and can cause illness in some people. Some people get a little cold, a little sniffle, and they're good. But some people, that cough kind of lasts for a long time. So most common cause being the common cold that causes cough for a lot of people. And one thing that I was just talking to Marissa, our producer for today. Everyone knows that wonderful pollen that has been all over our cars and everywhere we walk, and our kids are playing on the playgrounds and the monkey bars, whole nine yards, and they get exposed to all these allergens this time of the year. So definitely our allergies can get that cough going as well. One thing that we do worry about sometimes so there are some non-viral illnesses, so you worry about infection, and so not just viral, is bacterial. So a lot of times when that cough is lingering more than about 10 days or so most coughs is what we call self-limited from a viral illness. Once it lingers a little bit long, we start to wonder, have we developed some type of bacterial infection on top of that? And your doctor can help you figure that out as well. But one thing we are starting to see again is pertussis, or whooping cough. And so oftentimes that can have a very distinct cough, and that's something that you want to get evaluated by from your physician. People that are, again, as we talk about the patients with allergies and the allergic rhinitis being a cause of cough, we also think about those patients that have asthma. So asthma is not always just wheezing. So a lot of patients that have asthma can have wheezing that kind of points you down that direction. But you also have some patients that have what we call a cough variant asthma. And those patients may not wheeze a whole lot. All they do is cough. And typically a nighttime cough that they have. And again, your doctor can help you diagnose that. Going on along to patients that sometimes your cough may not be a viral illness or a cold, is we talk about patients with known heart disease or heart failure. So sometimes if you've got an excess buildup of fluid, so you know you have problems with your heart, or a family history of heart problems, sometimes cough can be a sign that you've got extra fluid on your body. And usually those patients know that they have this extra fluid on their body. You may notice swelling in your legs that kind of points you towards, maybe my cough is not a cold like I thought. My legs are starting to swell up. I feel a little bit more puffy. I'm gaining a little bit of extra fluid. That might be an indication that your cough is not your lungs per se, or is the lungs is the cause. You might have fluid on the lungs, but the fluid may be because of your heart. So if you've got known history of heart problems, or you've had high blood pressure that hadn't been controlled for a while that puts you at risk of heart disease, and you're having a cough and you're not really having runny nose, congestion, not running a fever, you just can't figure it out, but you have this swelling, it might be an indication that you need to see your doctor to make sure your heart is okay. Other things that kind of can point you in that direction is, I have some patients that used to sleep on one pillow, then they had to add a couple of pillows, and then now we're at three pillows just to get comfortable and breathe. Then that cough's a lot worse. Sometimes that can be an indication that you're having excess fluid from heart. So a known heart condition or a new heart condition. Going on, as I mentioned with some, so most of the time a cough, common cold, is caused by a viral illness, but we do sometimes worry about pneumonia in our patients. So if you're having a cough and you're having a good amount of shortness of breath, you're running fevers, your breathing is just not right, and something just seems not right, or you've had history of pneumonias in the past, that might point you in the direction of needing to be evaluated for a bacteria cause instead of just kind of letting that cough take its course. So anytime you have a cough and it, starts to kind of get better on its own, but it's lingering and just lasting a few weeks, nine times out of 10, you're safe to say that it's okay. My patients that had a cough, got it a little bit better, got a whole lot worse after they got better, those are indications to come on into your doctor and see if we're dealing with a new type of infection. So cough associated with a lot of fever, shortness of breath, lots of swelling, those type of things, those are the patients that I really like to make sure that they get in with their doctor to be evaluated with their cough and not just chalking this up to the good old common cold per se. So I think that's kind of a good intro to our talk about cough so far for the hour. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And for those who are just now starting to listen in on our show, I decided to talk a little bit about cough because we've been seeing it a lot lately. It is that time of the year we see it. But I talked a little bit about how do we know when our cough is not just a cold? So that's kind of what I want to dive into today. But I also want to make sure I cover any questions that some of my listeners have out there about their cough or cough in general to make sure that we cover it and get your answers and get you answers to your questions. So just a quick recap from the first little bit of the show. I talked about an acute cough. That's one that we typically say is less than 3 weeks. And that cough is most of the time contributed to patients that have some type of viral illness, most likely what we call the common cold. When your cough gets a little bit longer, that's when we start wondering if something else is going on. So what we call a chronic cough in the medical field is typically a cough that lasts greater than 2 months or greater than about 8 weeks. And that starts telling us maybe we need to dive into some other reasons of our cough outside of just the common cold. I will add, with many of our viral illnesses lately, and you know, depending on what your medical history is, I do have some patients that, you know, they get a viral illness like a cold, or they have recently had COVID or something of that nature, understanding that sometimes those coughs can last for a while, and that we call it just kind of a lingering cough from those things. But typically, if you're going past about the 2 months, I do want you kind of getting in with your doctor, regrouping, and making sure nothing else is going on that's causing your cough. So I want to dive into the things that sometimes people don't always think of as cough. And I remember I had one patient that was so frustrated with me because when he came in and he was telling me about his cough, and it had been going, this is probably had been having his cough about 4 or 5 months or so. And I was going over causes with him. And I said, it could be your reflux, or, you know, it could be medicines you're taking. He's like, I've never heard that in my life. And I'm 70 years old. And I was like, I know. And so that's why we're here talking about it. So usually a lot of common causes of our chronic cough for some patients can be the medications that you're taking. So a lot of my patients, the one that is notorious for causing a chronic cough is an ACE inhibitor. So that is a medication that is a blood pressure medicine. Many people know it as lisinopril is typically a common one, enalapril. So my patients, not just with high blood pressure, but if you've had a heart attack or heart disease, this is a medication that's very common in the management of those types of illnesses. So if you've got a cough and sometimes your patient, your doctor can't explain it, it could be your medicine. And the one that is usually most notorious for that is your medicine for your blood pressure or your heart. So sometimes if you had a cough and you noticed it hadn't happened until you started this medicine, it's a good conversation to have with your doctor. Now, again, I always warn, don't stop your medicine because you heard this show. Talk to your doctor first. It's not a harmful cough, by the way. Have a conversation with your doctor about alternatives. Just say, I listened to the show and I think my, you know, blood pressure medicine might be causing my cough. It is reversible. Once you stop that medicine, the cough usually resolves if that's the culprit. When I was looking at other medications. Interestingly enough, it put things on there like methotrexate. So some of my patients that might have some rheumatological diseases and be on methotrexate. And actually even included calcium channel blockers, which is another blood pressure medicine like amlodipine or nifedipine or verapamil, or some common names for those. But I'll be honest, I don't see that quite as often, but it did come on the list. So for some of my patients that may have chronic headaches, Topamax or topiramate is oftentimes can be used for some patients with seizures or chronic headaches or things of that nature, can also contribute to a cough. So again, again, just having a conversation with your doctor, reviewing your medication list, seeing if your cough started about the time that your new medicine started is something to consider. So if you got a cough, doesn't really seem to be bothering you too much, but something else could be going on, one thing you can look at that's a quick fix is to review your medicines and see if they could be contributing to your cough. Another thing that I see that people don't always like to believe as a cause of their cough is reflux. So a lot of my patients that have pretty significant heartburn, when they're telling me about their cough and I start talking about heartburn and what did you eat and, you know, are you having this kind of sour taste in your mouth or burning in the back of your throat or things of that nature, when I bring that up, patients are like, why are you asking me about this? I'm telling you about my cough. So interestingly enough, remember I told you guys, you know, coughing is our body's way of protecting our airways. So sometimes when you have reflux, some patients silently reflux means they have no symptoms. We don't realize it until we're working up their cough that reflux is the cause of their symptoms. But when you're refluxing, that acid can really irritate the back of your throat back there when it's coming up. And that inflammation that you get there is your body's like, something's not right. And that coughing happens. So a lot of my patients, So how do I know if I'm dealing with reflux? GERD is actually seen in about 10 to 20% of patients in general that sometimes come into the clinic. And reflux, or gastroesophageal reflux, that's GERD, is actually oftentimes more prevalent in women than we see in men. And so reflux, you know, it could be something that we've eaten. It's some people have that burning sensation in their chest, that sour taste in their mouth. They can have a cough. Typically, a lot of my patients with reflux, that cough is worse at night or when they first wake up in the morning. You're laying down, that acid's coming up, causing irritation to the back of your throat. So see if you have any triggers to reflux. If your reflux has been getting worse and now you're having a cough on top of that, that could be contributing people that can get worsening reflux. If you've been taking a lot of pain medication lately, like anti-inflammatories or what we call the NSAIDs, so Aleve, ibuprofen, those types of things can make people's reflux worse. And when your reflux gets worse, you can get a cough. Some of my patients, you know, a lot of times with reflux, sometimes we just do a trial of an antacid or a PPI is what we call it, that, you know, kind of omeprazole or Nexium or Prilosec, those types of things over the counter. Sometimes we just do a trial and see if that helps with your reflux and ultimately helps with your cough. However, we can sometimes send you to the ear, nose, and throat doctor or ENT or the otolaryngologist, if you want the technical term for it, and they can take a scope and take a look and see if it looks like you've got inflammation or anything causing your cough. So sometimes your cough doesn't always end up at the lung doctor. Based off of your history, the ENT doctors can also help with the diagnosis of reflux. As I comment on our ENT doctors and I talk about our ear, nose, and throats, post-nasal drip, that's one thing that also is on our list of something that can cause a pretty significant or chronic cough. And everybody knows probably one of the most annoying things in addition to the cough is that constant feeling of something draining in the back of your throat that you can't clear out. So a lot of times this is that time of the year for post-nasal drip, lots of allergens, lots of runny nose, lots of congestion, lots of drainage, and that drainage can ultimately cause a chronic cough for patients. And that's also another thing that our ENT doctors can ultimately help with is, again, getting that scope, looking for inflammation down there and seeing if you do in fact have some post-nasal drip. So if your post-nasal drip, of course, is attributed to what we're dealing with in this time right now, which is the pollen and the changes of the weather and the season, it's going to be trying to manage those symptoms. So pulling out those good old antihistamines over the counter, I always get which one's better. I usually tell people which one's on sale and which one works for you. A cetirizine or Zyrtec is a very common one that a lot of patients use. I like that one. Oftentimes a go-to. There's a generic form. You can buy it. I know y'all probably hear me talk about Costco or Sam's way too much, but you can buy a huge bottle of it at Costco's or Sam's. The only downside I tell patients when you're looking at cetirizine or Zyrtec is of the antihistamines comparing to Claritin, Allegra, and all those, that can be the one that is a little bit more sedating, so can make you more sleepy. So I always do this shout out to my mom that swears Tylenol makes her sleepy. That Zyrtec is probably not for you if you're pretty sensitive to some medications that make you a little bit more drowsy. For my patients to get a little bit more drowsy, Allegra is usually my go-to to help with a lot of that runny nose, allergies, post-nasal drip. Claritin's one that's kind of right there in the middle. Kind of one of my favorite. I feel like it's pretty effective, is what I use on my kids. And I tell people sometimes if you've used one just for a while, mixing it up can help. If you've been on Zyrtec for the past 2 years and you're not feeling that it's very effective, switching it to another one can be helpful as well. Benadryl is still a great option for some people. Helps dry us up, but again, can make us pretty drowsy. So that might be why some people may not choose that one. But Benadryl can also help you sleep through that cough as well as kind of help dry things up. So that can be an advantage. And then, of course, we can do our nasal sprays that can help a lot with those symptoms as well. And then our nasal kind of saline water and things like that. So good old post-nasal drip can sometimes cause that cough that we can't really explain. But again, that's all going to be in your history. I feel this drainage, my sinuses are going crazy, and now my cough is happening. In that same token, with what's happening at this current time of the year is good old asthma. So as I mentioned before, a lot of our patients can develop a chronic cough from asthma. And some people have that classic kind of symptoms of asthma where you're wheezing and you're having kind of some shortness of breath and you're having the cough on top of that. And of course, you already have a known history of asthma that can set off a more chronic cough. But for patients that don't necessarily have that diagnosis of asthma, if you're having a lot of wheezing or if you're having a lot of cough and you have a history of allergies or allergic to different medicines, allergic to different foods, sometimes we call you what we call an allergic person. So your chances of having asthma may be a little bit higher. Now, what I mentioned before are our patients that have what we call the cough variant of asthma. So those patients don't necessarily wheeze a lot, but their only symptom may be cough. And so this time of the year, they're just coughing like crazy. Oftentimes that cough is typically at nighttime. How do I know if I have cough variant asthma? That is essentially talking to your provider about a test. So we have something that we call spirometry and pulmonary function test, and we can do a challenge that causes you essentially to have a bronchospasm. And that's oftentimes how we can help diagnose cough variant asthma. And the management of cough variant asthma is very similar to those patients that already have asthma with inhalers. And then Montelukast or Singulair is an allergy medicine that actually is very helpful for our patients with cough variant asthma. And looks like we've actually got a call. So we've got Steve from Edwards. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to ask you a question about some sleep aids.
Sure.
I was taking Ambien for, way too long, and it did work.
Okay.
But I had gotten dependent on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know of another medication similar but not the same as Ambien?
Yeah, so there's a lot of great kind of sleep medicines out there that different people can use. So a lot of my patients that may not have had a lot of success with Ambien, Lunesta is kind of my next one for patients that's different from Ambien, but can work a little bit similarly. And patients can oftentimes get some relief from that. Have you tried that one before?
No, ma'am. But I have done this like over-the-counter, like Benadryl and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And so
Lunesta.
So Lunesta is one. We even have, we have something called Remelton. So that's very similar to melatonin, and it's a prescription version of melatonin. There's honestly, we've got Trazodone. There's a lot of different options, honestly, out there to help with sleep. So I definitely would talk to your provider because we definitely have grown. And a lot of times your insurance covering it has a lot to do that you've shown failure on previous ones. So
I have calendar melatonin, and it does seem to work some. Like, it causes me to dream a lot.
Yeah. And unfortunately, most of the sleep aids, that is a major side effect. Even my patients that have a lot of dreams with the Ambien, I oftentimes see that with Lunesta too. But I tell patients it's one of the things, just kind of finding that drug that works for you.
Well, the thing is, I'm totally blind, and I have tried the 924, the Helios. I've tried that, and I didn't seem to get any kind of effect out of that. I tried it for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll ask my doctor about the Lunesta, or what's the prescription melatonin called?
Well, so it's called Remelton.
Remelton. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm writing these. I got you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day, Steve.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And for those of you who are just hopping on to listen to today's segment, we have chosen to talk about cough just because I've seen so much of it in clinic this week as well as in the hospital. And probably one of the things, as I said, for everyone at some point in time has dealt with in their life. So as I mentioned before, for those listening in that might have just hopped on the call, we've talked about cough. I've talked a lot about really the timing of your cough. So cough less than 3 weeks, most patients, we chalk that up to a viral illness being the most common cause, being the common cold, which is viral. For the longer coughs, you know, ones that we call chronic in the doctor world, are coughs being greater than 8 weeks or greater than 2 months for most people. And that gives us a little bit different kind of list of what we're looking for. And so ones that are common causes of chronic cough that a lot of patients don't think about that I mentioned was, are you dealing with acid reflux or GERD, or postnasal drip? Asthma is another big one, and don't forget to review your medications. So as we continue on talking a little bit about our chronic cough, we try to ask ourselves, so how can my doctor figure out what my cough is from, and when do I need to see a specialist? So of course, if you're worried about your cough, always giving your doctor a call. When you go in, as with any other medical problem, they're going to get a good, thorough history from you that can point them in the direction if you do, in fact, is this a lung problem? Is this a heart problem? Is this an allergy problem or infectious problem? And they can essentially help you figure that out. If that cough typically lasts more than a couple of months and your doctor feels like that this could be related to your lungs more so than anything else, we usually try to start pretty simple with a chest x-ray. That can tell us, what are the lungs looking like? Is there looking like there's a pneumonia in there? Does your heart look big and maybe this is early signs of heart failure, or what that may be? So really the chest x-ray can give us a good view into what's going on with your lungs. There are some patients that chest x-ray looks perfectly fine and doesn't really give us more information, and we've reviewed your medications and it doesn't sound like you have any of those other concerns. We can oftentimes send you for more detailed tests of your lungs. So depending on your history, so for a lot of my patients that might be a smoker, you know, smoking increases your risk of what we call COPD or chronic emphysema, or COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Patients oftentimes that have been smokers are at increased risk of that, and they can essentially develop a chronic cough as well. We can help diagnose things of that nature with what we call pulmonary function lung tests. So these are special tests that you can do. A lung specialist can order this, but your primary care provider can also order it as well to help point them in the direction if you need to see a lung specialist or not. And oftentimes we can diagnose COPD based off of those lung function tests that your doctor can order and can help you. And a lot of your primary care doctors, if you're dealing with mild COPD or emphysema, many of us can take care of fairly mild cases. I tell patients, don't get me wrong, my pulmonologist, don't worry, we're still sending patients to you. But of course, I try to keep my patients' medical team small sometimes, because that really helps with confusion with medications and things of that nature. So that's why I always tell patients, sometimes just talk to your primary care provider and see if they're comfortable with treating these things. And of course, if things are more complicated and we need to get you to a specialist, don't worry, don't hesitate, we'll get you to a lung specialist. There are some patients that after all that, it looks like it's not a lung problem, but based on your history, sounds like a lung problem. We could do a CAT scan. So patients that, you know, we can look for different types of masses. It can give us a better look at bowel fluid on your lung. I had one patient that the chest x-ray said no fluid, and then I got a CAT scan, and we had a pretty significant amount of fluid. So how much more detailed we get on the test is kind of a very stepwise approach for patients. So your doctor may want to do a CAT scan. If you're a very allergic patient and real bad allergies, they may send you to an allergist and let you do some allergy testing and see if we find any triggers. If it sounds like GERD or reflux, they might send you to a GI doctor if our reflux medications aren't working. So those are some other things that, so your history really points us in the direction that we need to go to ultimately figure it out. So if we do all these tests and we can't figure it out, oftentimes we will go ahead and send you to the lung specialist. So some things that I didn't necessarily cover that were, looks at a very specific patient population. So as I talked about my smokers, if you are a smoker and you have a chronic cough, I don't want you coughing that up to you just got a cold all the time. I want you to go ahead and see your doctor. Now we, you know, can mention diagnose you with COPD or emphysema. And so we have inhalers and medications that can help with that cough and help decrease your risk of having what we call exacerbations or having more pneumonias or being more sick if you've got those underlying illnesses. So we can do our best to help control those things. Oftentimes, too, my patients that are smokers, I don't want you to forget that now we actually do have lung cancer screening. So making sure that you're out there getting screened. But again, as I mentioned, pictures that we take can definitely lead us to that. There are some rare occurrences where a cough is an indication for cancer. Do you have you had weight loss or things of that nature with your cough and you're a smoker that puts you at increased risk? So those are my patients. If you're not seeing a doctor, I want you to go ahead and make sure you're getting checked out. Other things that people may not always realize with some of their other chronic diseases, we have some patients that have rheumatoid arthritis or might have lupus or might have some other autoimmune disorders, or you do see those, I guess you could say those advertisements on TV. Did you work in a coal mine? Did you work a kind of about these particular chemicals? So you can oftentimes end up with a chronic cough or lung disease from exposures to your job. And this is where our lung doctors can really help us out. So those patients can sometimes have what we call interstitial lung disease. So where it affects the tissues in their lungs, not necessarily the airways, but the actual tissues in their lungs. And those patients can oftentimes have a chronic cough. And there's special kind of CT scans or CAT scans that can point us in the direction if that's what you're dealing with. And so those are patients that oftentimes I will go ahead and send to our lung specialist to further evaluate their cough in general. So that is, again, more kind of down the lung pathology and getting you in with the lung specialist as well. So I know there's some patients I hear about cough, have a lot of questions about cough. So don't forget that if you have questions, you can call the radio at 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. We still have plenty of time to take a few calls before this hour is up. And so as I mentioned before, we talk about all those things with chronic cough. I talked about your lungs being a cause, interstitial lung disease. People with chronic sinus issues can also have cough. And then as I mentioned before, some patients, it can be ultimately a sign of cancer or malignancy. People, interestingly enough, with sleep apnea can get a pretty chronic cough too. And so if you're a snorer, you're coughing, you're having those pauses of breathing in the nighttime, those are a good group of people that I recommend ultimately getting a sleep test. And then what I call a diagnosis of exclusion. So we've ruled out a lot of things and you just have this cough. We do have some people that have what we call a psychosomatic cough. So almost essentially what we call a habit cough. Those people that are like constantly clearing their throat, or there's this like pattern to their cough and it's almost like they just can't help it. And so a lot of those patients, we can oftentimes help with behavioral therapies and things of that nature. How do you know whether or not you ultimately fall into that category? Oftentimes patients that may deal with a lot of anxiety, depression, those types of things, or other psychiatric illnesses can sometimes have that particular cough. And let me highlight again, diagnosis of exclusion. Don't chalk your cough up. Oh, I'm anxious and depressed and this chronic cough. Dr. Kinsey was on the radio and told me it was probably related to that. No, no, no. That's after you've been evaluated for all of the many other list of things of cough that I said that could ultimately cause cough in a lot of patients. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health, where we discuss issues involving women's health. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey, Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine and Pediatrics at UMMC. And I've been asking you to call in with your calls, and so I want to make sure we have plenty of time for Kate. We've got a call from Kate in Mobile. Good morning, Kate.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I have a chronic cough that I've had really for a couple of years now, and I was wondering, could it be related to COVID? I've been through pulmonologists and my GP and had asthma tests and all kinds of things. So it really only seems to be worse at night when I lay down. During the daytime, unless something triggers it, once I start, I keep coughing. But mostly in the day, I don't have trouble. It's mostly at night now.
Yes, ma'am. And so, you know, honestly, how long ago did you have COVID?
Well, I've had it twice. I had it right at the very beginning, and then I had it the next year. So I've had two different cases of it.
Gotcha. And you didn't have a problem with having this kind of chronic cough until after that?
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. So honestly, I tell patients usually when I get my COVID questions, I still feel like we're learning so much from COVID. And I promise you, you're not alone. I have some patients that have had COVID months a year ago that have just kind of had a cough that hasn't gone. I mean, I hate to say 100% say, yes, that is in fact your cough, cause of your cough. But the fact that you've kind of done all the work of all the things that I've said, and we don't really have a good answer, and that's the kind of the point where you can pinpoint it happening, I think it's fair to say that that might be the cause.
Well, do you have any suggestions as to how to treat it, or is it just something I need to just kind of live with?
So, you know, it depends on what you've tried, because some patients, you know, even though they may not have I would tell people sometimes this is not the textbook answer. So not everybody follows the book is what I say. And so we do have some patients that if we, you know, I've had patients that have seen a pulmonologist and have had this chronic cough post-COVID and tests have been fairly normal, that they have tried just long-term inhalers and still treating them as if it's an reactive airway disease. So I don't think it's, you know, with the help of a pulmonologist that you saw, that might be something to consider, inhalers. If it's one of those things, we've been down that road, it didn't work. So it's one of those things, if it worked, keep doing it. But if it didn't, you know, kind of might be one of those things that you hate to say, just live with. But I also tell patients, let's not take medicines that aren't making a difference. So if you've got this cough and you've tried different things and they're not making a whole lot of difference and your cough is tolerable, then I hate to say it, you know, after having seen all those specialists and everything, it might just be something we kind of deal with.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a great morning, Kate.
You too. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. And so Marissa and I, my producer, were chatting, and she actually had a question for me about cough.
I do. Okay, so my question is, you've been talking about acute coughs and chronic coughs, but I'm wondering for people, maybe smokers or people who live or work in an environment with not great air quality, at what point are you having a cough consistently enough to consider it an acute or a chronic cough?
And I think that is going to vary from person to person, and it varies to the symptoms. So that's where a good history comes in. You know, acute, again, being, is everybody else at work kind of sick and runny nose, congestion? Have we had the weather changes? Is pollen out? So you can already have just an underlying cough related to your work or your COPD. But if it gets worse than what we consider the baseline, then that might tell us what we call acute on chronic. Right. So you have a chronic cough, but there's a moment of time where it gets worse, that's something that doctors call acute on chronic. So that might point you towards that something else is going on top of what you already have. And so that's why I tell patients that have chronic lung disease or other problems, if something changes
in your chronic disease, you still need to talk to somebody about it. So even like Kate, you know, she's had this cough she's been dealing with a couple of years, but if something new happens or it changes in any way, that's a good time to talk to your doctor. Okay. So it's really very, I just always tell people, when in doubt, just chat with your doctor. Don't always just chalk it up. Well, I've had a cough for so long, I just assumed it was just that, you know, just kind of make sure you're talking. So you can have a long time cough that can get worse and be something different than what you already have, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Well, that also brings us from Kate asking her questions, what works for coughs? Like, that is probably one of the most frustrating things that I think patients deal with. And my joke to so many, really my pediatric parents, but falls under patients in general, if I find the cure for cough, I can just retire. But as I mentioned before, you know, cough is this thing we need. It's our body's response to keeping our airway clear and fighting off. It's our protection for ourselves. So sometimes, you know, if your cough is keeping you up at night, I get some people, I've had patients that's been severe enough, a broken rib, you're just having really bad abdominal pain or chest pain because that cough is just so bad. Then those are some patients that I might point towards trying to help with their cough. And then, as I mentioned before, if you're dealing with allergies, trying to treat those symptoms of your allergies can be very helpful. But the question becomes a lot with cough syrups and things of that nature, like dextromethorphan that you see in that you sometimes see in NyQuil or things of that nature, or Dynatap, or I can't think of all of them right now, but pay attention to your ingredients. I get patients that take them and say, you know what, Dr. Kinsey, it didn't do anything. I was like, okay, then stop. And they're like, but what am I supposed to take? I'm like, don't keep taking something that's not working. But the studies are really mixed out there ultimately as to if cough suppressants actually work. And so most of the studies say not statistically significant enough where we should say you have a cough, you should do this. But your options for over-the-counter treatments, as I've said, in the cough syrup is something that's helpful. And it can help to kind of temporarily control your cough, but may not completely stop it. That might help you sleep at night. Guaifenesin or Mucinex is what a lot of people like to use when they have a cough, and that oftentimes just kind of helps break up the mucus. I tell people it breaks up the mucus with the help of water. So if we're not drinking a lot of water and a lot of fluids, Mucinex is not going to do a thing. But again, the studies are out there saying it probably doesn't do a whole lot to begin with. But if you feel like you're getting some relief from it, I tell you, great. If you feel like it didn't do anything, stop it. One less pill to take. Of course, if you've got asthma, then using your inhalers if your cough is worse or you're worried about an exacerbation, I want you making sure that you're consistent with your inhalers and you're talking with your doctor. One thing about asthma, I have such a true respect for asthma, and I try to remind my asthmatics, if you are having a lot of shortness of breath and your inhaler is not making a difference, get to the doctor. I've had some people not make it there in time. They did not realize how significant their asthma is. So if you're trying to treat your asthma at home and it is not getting better, you need to get to a doctor. If you feel like you cannot breathe, 911. But definitely if you're using your inhalers, they're not lasting, you know, more than, you know, 3 hours or so, then you need to be getting to a doctor to see if you need antibiotics, if you need steroids, if you need something more than your inhaler when you're dealing with the cough. So albuterol, your inhalers can help when you're dealing with asthma or COPD, but if you're getting worse and they're not helping, you need to see your doctor. We also have something that we like call these Tessalon pearls. That's a prescription medication that you can get from your doctor, and they essentially are a cough suppressant. They act kind of like an anesthetic to your respiratory receptors and kind of help suppress cough. I have some people that tell me those pearls are the most amazing thing I've ever prescribed them. And there are some people that are like, Dr. Kinsey, that didn't do anything for me. So it just really depends on the person. Some other things that people can do, throat lozenges can ultimately help patients with cough. It can be soothing and help with the frequency or severity of your cough. Looking at homeopathic remedies to cough, lots of hot tea. There's studies that say honey, your local honey, not just random, you know, cute little teddy bear honey, but your local honey can oftentimes help patients with chronic cough and their allergies. Please, please don't forget, less than 1 year old, do not give a baby honey, increased risk of botulism. I've had some people were dipping that pacifier in honey. Do not do that. Less than 1 year of age should not have honey. Other people, honey is a home remedy that we can use to ultimately help with your cough. For my smokers out there, trying to cut back or quit smoking can help with that chronic cough as well. And as I talk about medications for cough, the one thing I want people to not forget, please, please, please pay attention to the ingredients on your cough medications. I have patients that end up doubling their dose of multiple medicines because they took a cough medicine, took a congestion medicine, took a headache medicine, and they all have the same meds in them. And so they end up with a lot of extra of a particular medication. So please talk to your doctor if you're worried. Be careful with those over-the-counter medications. As always, I enjoy my Fridays and spending time with you guys and answering your questions. This is Southern Remedy Women's Health. It is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and is funded in part by a grant from the University of Mississippi Medical Center and generous support from listeners like you. Today's show was engineered by Marissa Vaughn. I'm Dr. Jasmine Kinsey. Join us next Friday at 11 for Southern Remedy Women's Health and stay tuned for NPR's Here and Now coming up next on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.